Good morning, everybody. Welcome on in to today's Franklin Today, our community spotlight. I'm Kayla Nix, sitting here with the one and only Thomas Wasson, which means that it's time to talk about Loaded and Rolling. Thomas?
It is. I'm going to call this one the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles edition, because we kind of talked a little bit about everything this week. A lot of drama. If the freight world was an ocean, there was a lot of drama on the high seas. Earnings calls came out, and everyone was complaining about stuff. So that was some of the highlights.
Yeah, not just drama about earnings calls, drama on the railroads, too. You got a couple of companies taking now a strike to a vote and putting this decision in the hands of some of their workers. You sat down with Mike Bowden-Distel, who is our rail expert over at FreightWaves. Talk to us a little bit about where he's seeing. We got kind of like a mini market update on Mike, and it was just kind of all over the place, but some good information.
It definitely was. It's something you don't want to miss when we're looking at, I think it's Norfolk Southern, activist investors putting it to a vote. One of the issues was they want to do less intermodal. That was one of the things.
Weird. Wait. Okay.
It's not like what you
okay,
do.
Okay. You're a rail company and you're telling me you want to do less intermodal. They made a bulk of their money during the pandemic on intermodal.
Exactly. Unprofitable lanes, if there ever was such a thing.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's what Mike had talked about, was that, you know, there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of situations where rail is facing some challenges because there is a difference between international and domestic rail. That's right, folks, because some people lump it all together. So when we talked about rail volumes, all the publicly available sources were like saying it's much better, you know, like 20% better year over year. We're doing so good. But then J.B. Hunt earnings came out and their stuff was flat.
Right.
And it's because domestic is different, folks. It goes a different size. So what was happening was all the international container folks from the steamships were just putting them on the rail and cutting out the middle person and just sending them straight over because they had so many extra containers left over from the pandemic. They need to fill the boxes. And it caused a situation where the rail companies who, surprise Pikachu face, they also bought more rail containers. They have to fill their boxes. So it's a battle of the boxes. Oh, wait, we have one more contender here, just like a WWE WrestleMania. Trucking companies, 53-foot dry vans with wheels. They need to fill the boxes. So we have the situation. There was a sonar chart he brought up earlier, was that over 1,000-ish miles, 17% savings with rail. Rail is king on long haul. 800 miles or less, it's like less than 7%. It's like a knife fight right now because trucking's like, hey, I see that nice rail you've got. I'll do it for cheaper.
And for faster oftentimes as well. Yeah. That was one of the things that we talked about a lot during the pandemic. Back like 2021, 2022, it felt like every day we were like, is intermodal the relief valve for trucking? Because capacity was just so absolutely constrained. And all these shippers were like, no, we're not going to take this. We're going to sacrifice speed for price at this point. And now it's another place where you just see the pendulum absolutely flip back into the hands of those shippers now saying, hey, you know what? We're gonna go with our trucking guys. And everybody that's on the intermodal side is like, what the heck? So that begs the question about the other big company in intermodal, Schneider, right? Where are they sitting? Have they released their earnings yet? Or are we watching for them to probably follow along the same trend as J.B. Hunt?
We had Schneider's earnings. I was focused on theirs talking about complaining about Q1 bids. Mm-hmm. Now, the name of the game for trucking companies like Schneider and J.B. Hunt is to grow intermodal. It's like you turn into a trucking company and you forsake your roots in order to get into something like that. Why would you do so? It's because it's harder to deal with rail. You know, you have these specific containers. You have specific deals with the railroads. It's a better moat. But we also saw Knight Swift. They got rid of their CEO, new CEO, talking about getting into LTL. That brings to the second point, fear and loathing in the LTL space. Old Dominion and Saia, pure play LTL, OG of them all, was complaining that trucking is stealing their volumes. And it's because, here's the butt of the joke, it is now cheaper to put a partial shipment in an entire box.
And you know what? Again, there's the flip, right? Because it's at one point in time, it was cheaper to split up your full shipments into multiple LTL trucks.
That's right. It's like cats are now friends with dogs. But we are, I think the coolest thing that we're seeing, and it's hard to see because when you're in it, you forget, is over the past 3 years, all of these adjustments have now returned to bite them in the proverbial butt. Because what's happening is we bought all these trailers, all these containers, ocean-going companies were building ships, and now we have more of a glut, and we're now throwing our hands in the air. This is probably one of the worst quarters because not only is it a little bit of a soft, Q1's typically soft, but everyone, it feels like everyone has problems.
The bullwhip effect is indeed whipping right now, you would say.
It seriously is, and I think that looking ahead, You know, there's not a crystal ball. If I had a crystal ball, the problem is still supply and demand, Econ 101, you know. But that's why we also see moves by trucking companies. Let's say you're a Heartland, you're a Werner. You can't get access to what J.B. Hunt and Schneider have, which is this intermodal stuff. You want to go into dedicated. So even within trucking that only does trucking, we see a move from over the road, random, highs and lows, like eating a thing of sugar, to dedicated, like 64%, I think, for Werner or a few. Usually they're over 50% of the mix. And so that's something that a lot of folks don't really know, is that even trucking itself wants that commitment.
Right.
It's like a Craigslist. Everyone's just looking for connection at the end of the day.
So we're coming up into the middle of May, right, and towards the middle to the end of big earnings season. Is there anyone that hasn't reported yet that you're really looking out for?
The ones that I haven't read, I knew there's some early stuff on ArcBest, which is interesting. They're doing some acceleration.
Right.
We're seeing some moves in that space. I wish Heartland had a call. Heartland just kind of put it out in a statement, some of them. My favorite was Martin, though, just because they said that we're not pushing back on rates. We do what we want. But the probably... at the end of the day, the ones that I like the most, there's not really any that's on the radar that I really just suddenly want to read, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, folks. I went through like 10 pages of earnings call transcripts just for you all. It is horrible to find funny quotes. The final one is Daseke, flatbed carrier, gets bought out by TFI International, large Canadian company. The revenge from the Maple Leaf folks, and they decided to give Daseke a $12 million haircut. In parlance, they cut salaries at the head office. And the CEO, really awesome guy, he's very frank in his descriptions. He was talking about how, well, Daseke has about 8 to 9 companies, and a few of them are running really well, a few of them are running really bad, and we blame the head office. So we're just going to cut all the staff at the head office. We're going to turn it around. We may get rid of it in 25. We may get rid of it in 26. I don't know yet. We need to trim it up. We need to trim it up real quick. And then he still casts shade on UPS Freight. Like, well, it's not as bad as UPS Freight. They're a mess. They're a total mess. At least these guys are like half a mess. And I was like, this isn't the earnings call.
You can't double down like that. Really quickly before we let it go, we talked about the big behemoths in LTL, but we didn't mention Old Dominion. Came out with operating ratio of 73.5%, only 0.1% worse than 2023, which is pretty good continuing the space. They've been like the dominant LTL force. Why are they so good at what they do?
They stick to what they do. They stick to what they knows best. Old Dominion was one of those complaining about competition, but they also said it's not going to last. Really, when I read through the transcripts, it was more annoyance. It's like, well, they're trying this stuff. This happens. They're trying it, but we're very confident in how we execute that we're going to make it work. And when you see a 73 OR, folks, that's a big deal.
And it's a good big deal, too. They were at one point, they were sub 70 during the peak of the pandemic when everybody was in the height of the good freight moves. And to keep it at low 70s in this difficult of a freight market, I think is just an absolute testament to their leadership and their ability to stick to their guns.
And it's hard to do. If you have a trucking company making 85%, which is 15 cents for every dollar total, you're doing really well. If you're like 90 to 95 in this market, if you're 95, that's the new 90 right now.
Right.
So for LTL, even the trucking companies, those were in like the 80s. So Old Dominion's just out here on the side. At the end of the day, you have to do your job well. I know that sounds like a meme, but especially in this industry, you have to be efficient. And I'm very shocked and impressed as well that they managed to keep it at that, because it means that they're showing what is the potential. It's like, look at what's that meme? The only a fraction of our power. You know, look what it takes to mimic a fraction of our power from the TV series Invincible. So that's what we're looking at right now with trucking and their LTL plays. Tried to look at like an Old Dominion, who is a pure play, long established operator. So I mean, that does show that no matter what happens, if you're good at what you do, you're gonna be okay.
Exactly. And if you stick to your guns and you're able to kind of brush off like the pesky little brother that is the annoyance of these big market changes and that like want to keep up with the Joneses, but not necessarily actually doing it, you're going to be just fine. Thomas, the newsletter comes out on Fridays. Where can people go? Or Thursday afternoons. Where can people go to find that?
Check it out. Freightwaves.com/loaded and rolling. You can find it on the WordPress. Go and subscribe. We can also find out YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. for the live show. Thursdays at 2 p.m. for the newsletters. I always get them mixed up. Both start with two T's. It's good content. Keep an eye out.
There you go. All right. Thanks for that, Thomas. We will catch up with you next week.